Let's get this party started.
Where are all the girls at?
I don't know.
They didn't show up.
I called them.
I told them we're going to be talking about hot Batman versus Superman news.
Do you think they got my invite? It's Monday, March the 28th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. It is the day after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Easter Monday for some.
Happy Easter. Happy Fertility Day to others.
Yep. And for some, it's just another Monday.
True.
So you're having a case of the Mondays. I feel sorry for you, but hey, we're here to cheer you up. And we're going to do that because...
Man, I got a case of the Monday.
We got a big show planned. Obviously, we're doing the Batman versus Superman movie review.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the notes over here. We got a couple picks.
Yeah, a couple picks. Some of them long, some of them short.
Our weeks are pretty thin.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very thin.
Interesting.
The thinnest.
Yes. starting this one off with a PSA.
All right.
PSA to all you dog walkers out there
in the world. I know where this is going.
especially if you're on like a path, like a walking path.
Yeah, like a nicely paved, smooth path.
Yeah, you know what? Like, be mindful of your surroundings. Be mindful of others. If you have let's face it, not everybody has a well-trained animal.
Most people don't.
Yes, most people don't. That's actually the sad truth of it. Most people don't. But they figure they put a leash on it and it's A-okay. And 9 times out of 10, that works out. But sometimes your dog could get out of control. So always hold that leash pretty tight or close, at least when others are around. Case in point, today I was biking. I was heading back home. And in the opposite direction, there was a female walking her dog.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a large dog.
Of course. It's obviously a tiny dog.
I'm assuming she was Snapchatting on her phone because she wasn't looking at the dog. She was looking at her phone.
She was looking at the dog through the camera.
Maybe.
Like, walking my dog.
It's 2016. I get it. People do that while they drive, too. I don't...
What?
I don't endorse that.
What?
But I understand that
at that's... At least do it at a stoplight.
I understand that people do it. And, wait, are you being serious here?
At least do it at a stoplight.
People do it all the time when they're driving.
At least do it at a stoplight.
I think Lewis Hamilton recently got, like, almost fined in New Zealand because he did it on a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyways, keep your dogs in check. Today, I was biking, heading home on the path, opposite directions. I saw the dog. I saw the girl. They were both on the left side. I was on the right side. I thought things were going to be fine.
And the dog's like, whoa, sick. A bike.
Yo. And it's moving. I got to chase it. So last second, there was a bit of slack on her leash. Dog jumped at me.
Dang.
Or jumped in my direction last second. And in those last second scenarios, you always have two options. Kill the dog, kill yourself.
So kill the dog.
I think I would have gotten to a bit more legal problems if I killed the dog.
Nah, man, it's for bad.
So I went for the ditch and crashed. that sucked.
I should have bunny hopped over the dog.
If I could, I would. But that's not a skill I have.
Like, do a sick bunny hop in like a tabletop.
Yeah, no, I don't have those skills. I can go fast. I can't be flashy. Okay,
as long as you're on the ground, you're good to go.
Yes. So in the end of that, I crashed. My front wheel's kind of fucked, which sucks.
Yeah, it's more than that. It's super bent. Like,
yeah. I mean,
did you have to walk the bike home after that, or
I rode it home?
Oh, wow.
It was a weird ride.
Okay.
It wasn't straight.
Was it not the fastest ride?
It wasn't. I could tell it was slowing down with each rotation, and I had to pedal a bit more. So I guess, you worked out a bit more. But besides that, yeah, it sucks. So just make sure your dogs are in check. Funny, though, is immediately after I saw the problem with my bike, I was like, shit. I know I just bought a new bike, but I didn't really want to wreck this one.
No, right? Like,
cause yeah.
They're different bikes.
I know. So I was like, fuck. But, could have been my new bike, but it wasn't, so
good.
I guess that's the
That's the upside?
That's the right side of the story, I guess. But if it happens to me again, I'm running over the person.
Cool.
I'm just going to go for the
person. Oh, instead of going right for the ditch, you're going to go left for the person?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to see the person, and then I'm going to stare into their eyes as I hit them.
Like, hey, what's up? You're flipping through the air, just locked eyes.
Like, hi. This is your fault. Speaking of needless violence, let's move into our review. Batman versus Superman.
Yo, big blockbuster hit.
Oh, totally.
$170 million at the box office.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot of money. Well, to be fair, a lot of marketing.
Yeah.
True. I feel like we've seen a lot of Batman versus Superman, a lot of talk about it. And I think just audience anticipation because, hey, DC's finally doing something that will hopefully rival the Marvel side.
Like, they're getting into their big event.
Yeah. Thing. So, of course, everybody's excited. No matter how much shit you talk about it or think of those trailers, you are always going to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, us.
Yeah. I thought I already saw the movie, and I was just like, well, I guess I didn't,
because
here's some cool stuff.
Speaking of which, what did you think of the movie?
I thought that movie was really good.
Ooh.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Ooh.
So this was, what is it, like 2.5 hours long?
It's long.
Yeah.
I got out of the theater, I'm like, what time is it?
So that's the thing, like, I also did that, but not in a negative way. Like, I didn't feel like it was 2.5 hours, right? First off, the thing I like about this movie is that they mow through Batman's origin story. They're like, we know that you know that he was in an alleyway and his parents got shot. Yeah. So here's just like a quick scene, very like stylized, very dramatic.
Yes.
And this is his thing.
Yeah, his opening story is done during the opening credits.
Yeah. And I thought that was really smart, just not to make your audience like actually sit through a whole origin story again. So the thing I like about this movie is that it's the buildup of the relationship between Batman and Superman.
Mm.
And while, like, I don't know if it's comic accurate, it's the buildup for the movie verse of Superman's just like, he's like, people are right, I can't save everybody. And then who am I to choose who I save? Like, maybe I should just go away. Maybe I should end Superman. And then Batman is all like, this mofo is so reckless with his power, like, they did like a almost like a retcon, or I guess it is a retcon
of what,
of the final battle between Zod.
They retconned it,
or it they made it. I guess not a retcon, but it's like this one building they destroyed was Wayne Enterprises or Wayne Accounting,
yes,
and so that's how they got Batman into it, and like it really hurt Batman that like he kind of destroyed all of his co-workers, and like he's hurting all these people. He's just like a force of nature, right? So he's like, no one can be trusted with this type of power. Like, I need to put an end to Superman. And that's most of the movie. That's like a good chunk of the movie, and I like that slow pace. That's my thing. So I hear a lot of people complain online about the slow pace of the movie, like for like the first hour, and I really enjoyed those parts. The information gathering, learning about Lex Luthor. He's not really Lex Luthor. He's like Lex Luthor's son or something.
No, he's Lex.
Is he?
He's Lex. Okay.
Then he's Lex Luthor.
Alexander Lex.
Yeah. I actually liked his portrayal of Lex Luthor. Like, even though that's not traditional Lex. Like,
yeah.
This kind of more psychotic version. He didn't feel Joker-y, but he did feel a little more crazy than I think Lex Luthor would normally be.
Yeah.
Also, I really like that one painting in his room.
The
heaven and hell, and they're like, oh, I could flip it. The slow pace is the part that really, like, that I really enjoyed. Information gathering, like the more covert stuff and dealing with their personal lives. Especially the scene with Aunt May, or not, is it Martha with Martha, where it's just like you can be good, you can be, or don't be anything, you don't owe these people shit.
And I'm
like, yeah, that's exactly right. To me, at least, for what Superman should do.
Yeah.
And then at the end, there's big fights and stuff. And it kind of gave you everything in this one movie. Like, it had the beginning of Batman's origin. It had all of the... What would have been, like... So, my complaint about the Avengers is that the latest Avengers, Age of Ultron, is that it's trying to set up too much stuff. But in the middle of this movie, they just do all the setup for the next movie or for the Justice League movie. And then also you still have your big your big climactic ending, big fights, cool stuff, yeah, gadgets and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought this movie was like the complete package, and I don't feel personally that it tripped anywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, before you went into the movie, did you already read the reviews?
No.
Okay.
So all I heard was, like, I saw a quick snippet on, like, I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, because I didn't see it opening day. I saw it on a Saturday, like, in the middle of the day.
Mm.
And so I was scrolling through my Twitter feed before the movie, and then it's just like, oh, internet and outrage about Superman, and, like, this Superman movie's garbage. I was, okay, I got to put this away before, like, the headlines get to me. And then, like, mm-hmm. I read the reviews afterwards, and I just kind of didn't agree with anybody.
Okay. All right. Cool. I enjoyed the movie, too.
Okay.
Not to the level that I think you enjoyed it, though.
Okay.
Like, I feel like you really
enjoyed it. I really like that movie. Yeah. I think that movie is awesome.
And to say that you liked it better than The Avengers.
I think that movie's better than Deadpool.
Okay, so yeah, I don't think I would agree with you there. Yeah. I don't think I would agree with you. Well, I don't know. Okay. Batman vs. Superman,
it's weird to quantify because that's a single hero story, and this is more of a team thing.
Yeah,
but I do definitely like it more than Age of Ultron.
I can't agree with you
there. Okay.
No. I guess there's two sides to this one, because it's what you know of these characters and what they're supposed to represent, mm-hmm. and what is this movie trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a longtime follower of DC comics and stuff, then you're going to hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you just said you don't really know them.
So, like, the only DC stuff I've been following is the Suicide Squad.
And that
was when New 52 happened.
So you don't know the original. Yeah, so you don't know the original.
So I don't really know the original. And so, like, that's the one thing. Like, my girlfriend, she really hates how Harley Quinn is portrayed in the new Suicide Squad movie.
Mm.
Because she likes the old, like, jester Harley Quinn with, like, the two pigtails and, like, the black and red suit.
Mm.
Right? And I'm just like, I just don't care.
Mm.
So maybe that's, like, blasphemy for some people, but...
To be fair, Harley Quinn's not really a comic book character.
Yeah, true. It's more, like, animated.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where that comes from. But, like, if you're a big Superman or Batman fan, I know this movie... There's a million places where this movie will come for your heart, rip it out, and crush it.
Well, especially I think we did it originally when we discussed the trailer for this movie with the Martha scene. Like, Martha would never say that in the comics.
Well, no, that came more from Man of Steel when Pa Kent would say stuff too.
Yeah.
And because the reason Superman is so good is because his father, his parents.
Yeah.
But that changes the whole dynamic of this character. And why he questions himself.
Mm.
And I thought that was a really cool twist. I mean, I guess for me, we've had those Superman movies before. We know everything there is to know about classic Superman. Maybe it's time for a change. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. At some point, like, I always felt that a lot of those older Superman movies, not the Man of Steel one, they fell flat because Superman is this, like,
perfect,
impossible ideal.
Yeah.
Right? And no matter what, you know he's going to... He's going to do the good thing, like, no matter what the cost, right? Because he can. And that's kind of what makes Superman boring, I would say.
Yeah, that's a classic argument against Superman. I would agree. And I think his movie, or at least this cinematic universe, is trying to change or trying to take a spin on that to make him more interesting. And I think it works. I think the direction they're going for, it works. I'm not too sold on the execution of it.
Okay.
And how they've been leading up to it. On the Batman side of things, I really like Ben Affleck as Batman.
How do you like his skinny bat car?
It's fine.
Yeah,
like cool.
For some reason, as soon as I saw that car, I just thought of, like, the Nolan North Batmans. Nolan North. What's his face?
The Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. There you go. Nolan North Batman. The Christopher Nolan Batman vehicle, and I just, like, man, that car went on a diet. Like, he got skinny.
Yeah. No, I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I like how he literally gives zero fucks.
So that's the other big thing.
Yeah.
Is Batman breaks his golden rule in this movie.
Yeah. He breaks two rules. He kills people and then he uses guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So if you're a Batman purist, I can understand why that would upset you. And, like, I think if you walk into this movie and you're thinking, like, I'm going to see the two greatest superheroes fulfill their complete ideals, you're going to come out crying. Yeah. You're going to come out crying. And I think it's an interesting direction DC's taking, just because Marvel's been trying to from Marvel's side, they've been trying to capture the spirit of what makes their heroes so popular stuff. And that's generally, I suppose, like, if I had it my way, that's what I would want too.
Okay.
But I think it's interesting that DC's gone this other direction and said, hey, let's adjust for the times. Yeah. You know, certain topics are being discussed and raised. Why don't we apply them to our heroes?
Yeah, so like the topic of xenophobia.
Yeah, like let's apply that to our heroes and see how that affects them. And I think that's really cool. But there's parts in this movie that, to me, that just don't quite work. And they really stand out as moments. Like, there's a Lynch point moment in the movie that you're supposed to be sold on. And when it happened, I burst out in laughter because I thought it was so dumb.
Was it the dream sequence?
No, I thought it was how Superman convinces Batman to team up with him.
He just pushes him?
No.
Which part was that?
So, we're going to go into spoilers now. But, I mean, hey. You guys don't really care.
Oh, with Martha.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Full. I was all of our reviews. Full spoilers.
Yes.
So we're going. So you're talking about the Martha part.
I'm talking about them. So let's just set it up. Superman is in Metropolis, going like, "Who's this bat character in Gotham, making his own sense of justice?" And everybody laughs at him, like, "Yeah, it's Gotham. It's the shits. Who cares?" Yeah. And Batman's like, "You killed my employees. You're no god. You're whatever. Yeah. Blah blah blah."
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, and then that's fine. They have their motives for against each other that work. Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's stick with that. But right before they come into contact, Superman has this, like, he's given this ultimatum that he has to make, which just adds on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that ultimatum completely disregards their prior motives for fighting one another.
I think that's what it was meant to do. Like, they write themselves into this, like, check out these sick motives, but this ultimatum is going to mess it up so we can curve the story.
I think it works for Superman's side. Yeah. I don't think it works for Batman's side.
Batman's did seem kind of rote. So, like, or, like, just forced, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, so, essentially what happens is, hey, we both have the same mom's name. We're both mama's boys. Okay, I'll be your best friend now.
Yeah, right. So, in the moment, I was like, oh, yeah, they do have the same first names. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, I was thinking about it, like, as I came away from the movie, I'm just like, that's a little forced in retrospect.
And then when Batman goes to save his mom, he goes, I'm a friend of your son's. I'm like, oh, so now you're BFFs? Like, that's what's happened?
I would have guessed the cape.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, and it's instant. Like, it's instant enemies to friends, and I'm, for such a ridiculous reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, everything, like, I was fine with what I was watching before that and after that, but when I think to that pivotal moment, and then he takes the kryptonite spear that he worked so hard to get, and he just abandons it.
Yeah.
Right?
Lois Lane takes it.
No, he throws it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah. He throws it away, they escape, and Lois Lane goes back for it.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And it's just like, what? What, Batman? No, why wouldn't you just keep that? Like, I get it, you have different... You're not... I don't know. That part just, like, there's a lot of things that just seemed a little too contrived to push the story forward.
Yeah. I think the only part that really bothered me about the movie was Batman breaking his golden rule. Not for the fact that he broke it. Like, it's like, oh, this is very un-Batman of him. Is that I feel Batman fight scenes in movies are always way more interesting because he doesn't resort to guns.
Yeah.
And he doesn't resort to killing people.
Yeah.
So even if it might be this, like, pie-in-the-sky tech stuff that only he has, it's still a lot more interesting than, like, hey, I bent this guy's arm, took his gun, and then shot three people.
Yeah.
Right? And so I came at it more from, like, an action standpoint rather than a story standpoint.
Mm. Well, I will say Batman has all the coolest fight sequences in this movie because they straight up took all his shit from the Arkham games.
Yeah, right?
I was like, what the fuck?
He did the thing, he grappled and, like, put into his skin and he pulled him and then clotheslined him. Like, he did everything.
And I'm like, yo, you're just doing those combos, man.
The one part of that warehouse fight scene that made me laugh, like, as hard as I could was when he punched that one guy in the back of the head and he just kind of, like, folded like an accordion. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's just silly. Like,
I thought when he breaks through the wall, I'm like, yo, you totally do that in the games. I'm like, this is what's going on?
He put the explosive gel in a bat logo.
Yeah, and then I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there was a lot. I was like, man, this is just the Batman game.
Yeah, I'm like that. Like, credit where credit's due. It's a really cool sequence to see.
I was waiting for the scene where everybody doesn't know where he is, and then it shows like a first person scene of Batman, but it's detective vision, yeah, and they're all red with the skeletons. Yeah. Like, that's what I was waiting
for. They almost do that.
Almost, yeah.
With the Alfred and the Batpod. Mm-hmm. With Batwing, sorry.
But it was like thermal vision, yeah.
Yeah.
And this... I didn't like Alfred that much as
I didn't mind him. But maybe it was just me, but he looked like an older Robert Downey Jr. to me.
Oh, did he? Like, I didn't really
get, like, that. I don't know. Like, I got this older Iron Man vibe from him. I'm like, this is weird.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't like Lex.
You didn't? Okay.
No. Like, as much as, like, I'm all for, like, we're going to change up all the characters and their motives, I guess I just didn't really like the sort of bratty, spoiled rich kid angle they went with. Like, the whole, like, half-psychotic thing, I could get behind that, but the fact that he's, like, this scrawny little runt, I guess I just didn't buy it. Yeah.
For me, I really like the manipulation aspect of his character, how he can get into people's heads and just like play them like a fiddle, pretty much. And that was the part I really liked. But again, you probably don't have to use Lex Luthor for that. You could probably
Like, I feel like you could have used someone else.
Yeah,
like it didn't have to be Lex. I feel like he was only put in there for
name recognition.
Yeah, because he's the big guy.
That's fair.
But
do you think we'll see more of him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Because they did shave his head at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Another thing I was surprised by was how early Wonder Woman's introduced into the movie. I didn't realize she'd be there, like, doing her own little recon bullshit.
Yeah, stole the thing.
Yeah, and why was she doing her own recon bullshit?
She needed that picture.
For what?
First, she needed a new Facebook profile.
Exactly. Like, what'd she need the picture for?
Well, it's to hide her identity, I assume.
It's already in the system. I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
Like, Bruce didn't steal the stuff, he just copied it.
It wasn't like a physical picture.
But, so. Yeah, and then she flees the country, only to...
come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she's gonna flee it.
So, I guess, yeah, that's the weird part. Like, her motives hinge now completely on her movie, as to why she went into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts a bit of pressure on that movie, but that's a story for another day.
So, yeah, I also... So the one scene with the dream sequence, where it was neo-Nazi Superman.
Yes.
And Batman was in the desert doing some Spec Ops the Line shit.
Uh-huh.
The part at the end where it's the fake wake up and the Flash appears through time.
Yeah.
So do you think that this incident of protect her, protect what's important to him, you were right, is the one he was talking about? Or do you think the future movie is going to be the... hey man, Superman went crazy because someone killed Lois Lane.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
You know, at this point, I don't think. I think that's what's great about this direction is you can't really predict it anymore
because
they've changed it. So.
Also the smart choice of not having a post credits scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
To like, oh, here's tease the next movie. Right. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder what the next villain is going to be.
Assuming. Oh, for the
because it's league? Like the end times are coming. Then they keep dinging the bell.
Oh no, Brainiac? Who knows?
Maybe Brainiac. Okay, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, and they give you like a little taste of the rest of the crew, like the Flash. They give you a little bit of Cyborg,
a little bit of Aquaman,
a little bit of Aquaman.
Yeah,
and so yeah, it sets up, like I don't know how this movie for me at least set up all that stuff, but still didn't feel like a waste of time. So, like, that's what that movie was for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool, though. There's things I like, things I don't like. Did you catch the Jimmy Olsen cameo?
No.
You know who Jimmy Olsen is, right?
I don't think so. Is he part of the Olsen twins?
No. Clark Kent's sidekick, the photographer? Jimmy Olsen, redhead?
Okay. Is it that girl that Lawrence Fishburne keeps ragging on? Did they gender swap him?
Or? No.
Oh no, I didn't see it then.
So Jimmy Olsen's kind of like the super innocent, like I guess in many ways he's sort of the audience character, like you're
Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, okay. And like, oh, my best friend's Superman. I take pictures of him and I work for Lois Lane. He was the spy that Lois Lane went in with to at the beginning of the movie that gets shot in the face.
Oh, really?
That's Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of fan backlash from that.
Yeah, because, so, like, Superman's supposed to be dead at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
But then they have that, like, that Inception thing of just, like, oh, look, the dirt raised a little bit, right? Yeah. So it's like,
well, Superman's not dead.
Yeah.
There's a Justice League movie. He can't be dead.
How are they going to bring him back?
I was thinking about it, I'm like, ah, of course, to make a Justice League movie where you have Superman around at all times is you have to kill off Clark Kent.
True.
Right? And then you could just have them all together at all times. Because Bruce could disappear, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is, well,
she's there.
Invisible.
The Flash. Does she have an invisible jet?
I don't know. Not in this one, apparently.
Okay.
But yeah, that was just what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, you kill off Clark Kent, you have Superman everywhere. But then, of course, Lois and his mom will know. True. I mean, you can't really hide Superman.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the fight sequences. They were all pretty cool.
Man, my favorite fight sequence was the initial, like, meet me at this abandoned warehouse. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna fight, and he shoots him with the kryptonite.
Yeah,
and they start having like an even match. But the the one scene where Bruce has him up against the wall, and the kryptonite effect starts to wear off, and his punches go from like full fledged like beating punches to like he's just not moving, and then it's like it dents his armor, and he's like, oh no. That scene was so awesome.
Just even
the small things like. Clark, we have to work together, right? And he just shoves him. And he like throws him like two football fields.
He's like, and every time Batman's like, oh my god.
What have I done?
You're just like, oh fuck. This is gonna be tough.
I really like that they announced Superman is pretty much unbeatable.
Yeah, he is.
There are like certain instances within comics where they go through some crazy roundabout ways to defeat Superman.
Yeah.
But Batman can beat Superman, quote unquote. Like, but he can never like kill him. Like, he can never truly defeat Superman. He could probably like keep him in a state of unpoweredness. But
it was something. And then the Doomsday fight. Doomsday just kept going Super Saiyan every time they took him
down. Yeah, man. Doomsday was just being Doomsday. He was just like, oh, you keep hitting me? Cool. I'm Onyx from Brock's gym. I'm just gonna use Bide and just chill.
Yeah, he was cool. Wonder Woman had some neat moments.
I liked his use of of portraying superpowers, where Wonder Woman would just be like kind of chilling, right? And then when she does her like supersonic running, it goes poof and it shows the sound wave, but like the camera stays where she was, like she was too fast for the camera.
Yeah,
like I like those kind of effects.
Yeah, I really like the Doomsday fight because every time I cut to Batman, it just showed him running away and dodging.
Yeah,
that's it. He never fought; he was just running. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I think have we covered everything?
I guess we covered the weird Flash sequence. We covered the flashback. The flashback.
You're funny.
I think fight scenes, story. Like, did you find the beginning boring at all? Or no?
What happened in the beginning?
Well, just all the setup. Like, did you, recon and all that stuff?
I thought it went on a bit too long, especially Lois's stuff of hunting down the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Lex all this time. Like, she had to fly to Washington and stuff. I'm like, we could have chopped that down a bit.
That was a cool scene, though, when they were in the hearing and she turns the jar and it's like grandma's.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's cool. That was fine. Like, I was cool with all that. A lot of the Batman recon stuff might have not needed.
Okay.
The movie could have been tighter. I think they could have chopped off certain segments. I'm very curious to see what the R-rated version of the film will look like.
Is there an R-rated version?
The Blu-ray is going to be the unrated version.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's going to be longer. It's going to explain a bit more. And it's going to show you things that you're not supposed to see.
Nice. I want to see that.
You know what? I will say, if you have kids, don't take your kids to see this movie.
So that's the thing. I saw the movie at 11:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It was just me, my girlfriend, and then a bunch of parents with their kids. And some of the shit in this movie, I'm like,
yeah, you should, like, don't take your, like, you know when you're an adult and you hear that saying, never meet your heroes?
Yeah.
This is like doing that to your kid. Don't do that. Like, this is something that maybe, like, you should show them when they're in their teenage years and they don't really, and heroes don't mean as much to them anymore.
Yeah.
But don't, like, if you have an 8-year-old, don't do it.
Yeah, because, like, this version of Batman is more of... What was that one animated series we watched where it was old Batman who just didn't fucking care?
The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it's like Dark Knight Returns Batman, He's just branding people. He's just
why is he branding people?
He's just like, I'm just tired of this shit. Like, I'm just gonna go buck wild, right? And then Superman's kind of all like questioning himself when really Superman should be this like, oh, I'm gonna fight for justice and everything. But that, like, when a kid sees Superman just kind of like, man, like, that kid's also gonna be like, if Superman can't handle this, then I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like,
yeah.
It's a cool movie for moody teenagers, bare minimum. Like, that's the moody teenagers is the minimum age that should be seeing this movie.
Yeah, I guess in many ways I'm glad I watched the Christopher Reeve ones as a kid.
Yeah,
you know, and
because like, to us now, like oh, that's not really a realistic portrayal of anybody.
Yeah,
but to a kid and what Superman is supposed to portray, at least, like, a kid would look up to that. A kid would like want to base his life around being the best you can be and always doing good no matter what.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a shame.
Yeah. And it's not for the fact that it's like, there's like some questionable themes, like when they kidnapped all those girls in the basement or whatever, but.
Oh yeah, they did.
Yeah.
There's a ton. Yeah.
Man. But mostly it's just like seeing your superheroes in this state of almost depression.
Yeah.
And it kind of ruins the magic for a lot of kids.
Yeah. So don't take your kids to see Batman versus Superman. That's the number one takeaway, whether you agree with our opinion or not. Just don't take your kid.
Don't take your kid. Just go see it by yourself.
Yeah, that's maybe not even. Maybe your wife might be like, "Hey, it's a kind of serious movie here," or she might just think it's even dumber.
Yeah, like, no, honey, like Superman's depressed. Look at this. He's just like, oh, but superhero still. I don't care. I want to go see My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Let's go.
Like... Oh no! All right, that's enough. Batman versus Superman. We've been here for like a half hour.
Whoa, really? Yeah. Whatever. Like, would you rate it anything?
Or yeah, sure. I would give it a 3.
You give it a 3
out of 5. Out of 5. It's on the positive side.
I give it a 5.
Yo, fuck, man.
I really like this movie.
Shit.
I really like this movie. I'm like all the way on the opposite end of what all these critics were saying.
I thought you were gonna go for at least. I knew you were gonna be like 4, but I didn't think you'd be 5.
I really enjoyed.
Like, this movie. I didn't realize. Like, so you know what that means, right? Yeah. To you. Batman vs. Superman equals Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Fuck. Get out. Get out. No, 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 no.
The movie's really good.
Oh, my God.
There are different levels of 5.
No, there's just 5. Otherwise, we'd have 5.5, 5.2. It's no, just
they're 5. They're meta levels. They're meta levels. No.
You wanted this scale of just 5.
I did want it.
So but it has rocked you me. Have to live with it.
No, but I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah, at no point was I bored or disappointed with this movie.
I was not bored, disappointed maybe, yes, but
yeah.
5, jeez, get out. You're the only person in the world,
I guess.
Oh, man,
you want to send me some free shit?
Go for it. Send you a poster or something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our some
oh sorry, okay,
what
last thing about Batman vs Superman. Did you see the video that's pretty much gone viral of Ben Affleck?
Yes.
Oh. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That's so sad.
Oh my god, that video is so good.
It doesn't matter though, because the preceding article to that was Batman vs Superman is the 5th best premiere film in the world,
best grossing premiere. Yeah, so
yeah, you know, it's sad, but like it I just don't want to see it go down the way of Transformers, in that every movie is considered horrible.
But everyone just sees
it. Yeah. And it makes billions of dollars.
So they're like,
they have no reason to fix it or change it. Because to them, it's like, we're still making the money. We're not doing anything wrong.
I thought you guys gotta vote with your wallet. You're voting wrong.
Yeah, man. But I will say I'm glad I paid. Like, I don't feel like I got ripped off.
Yeah, same. Movie. Obviously, I'd give it a 5. But
yeah, your opinion doesn't matter anymore. All right, let's move over to picks.
Do it. Or do you want me to start?
Nintendo to stop making Wii U's in 2016?
Sure, we'll start with that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so around March 22nd, I believe, a news story appeared on Giant Bomb. It was Nintendo to stop production of Wii U consoles in 2016.
And
it went up. It's just like, they're like, yeah, from... So the Japanese Financial Times, the Nikkei, usually a very reputable source of any business news going on in Japan.
Like the Wall Street?
Yeah, pretty much. And they came out with a thing saying that Nintendo is planning to stop making Wii U's.
Uh-oh.
Right? And it's like, so I'm like, man.
That's stuck.
I got a collector's item.
Shut up. You don't.
No, I don't. But like it actually did affect their stock.
Of course it would.
Right? So like after you told me I can see public companies like earnings reports and stuff.
Yeah, you looked it up.
I've been looking them up. Oh. I've been looking them up. So it did actually hurt their stock, like not as much as you would like, not like a terrible amount, but it did go down.
Yeah.
But the thing was later Nintendo up they issued a statement saying that the there will be continuing Wii U production for some additional time. So that still doesn't tell us that
some additional time.
So that doesn't tell us that Nintendo is still not going to do it for the end of the year, but maybe they'll go for the end of the year and some change.
I think they're going to make a last holiday bank. That's it.
Exactly. Like I think it's going to be here's my Q3 rush, right? Here's the holiday season, and then we'll see how it goes. If it goes pretty well, maybe we'll drag it out into Q4. But by the end of this fiscal year, we're done. And the thing is like, man, yo, homie, like, NX is, some announcement about the NX is coming at E3. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Of course.
Just because the Wii U seems like a lot, like, Nintendo has abandoned it pretty much. Well, not abandoned, that's harsh.
They've abandoned it.
I won't say abandoned.
All the cool games are going to be on the 3DS. They've abandoned it.
Sharp FE.
It's like one game, dude.
But Sharp FE.
That's one game. Sharp FE. They put out one game per year.
Babysitting Mama 2. Wow. You don't know that's not coming out.
You don't know it's not coming out to 3DS.
True. True. Yeah. Put the 3DS in your baby. But yeah, so like they are winding down production on the Wii U.
Good.
And it's most likely because of the NX.
Good.
So it was just a really shocking statement to see, like, oh, they're just like, hey, out of nowhere. No more Wii U's. It's like, whoa, how are they going to make their money at all now?
That's a trick question. Did they ever make money on a Wii U?
I don't think Nintendo's one of the only companies that doesn't use their console as a loss leader.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, you're right.
They're always making money on purchases.
That's why they're so garbage.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was really inside baseball for listeners. So what a loss leader means is so when companies sell consoles usually they use those as a quote-unquote loss leader, and that is they're selling these consoles at a loss, and it's not as bad as a business move as you would think, because it gets consoles in the hands of people, because those companies also take a portion of game sales. So as long as there's enough people with those systems and they're buying games, they can easily make their money back off of royalties from game sales. So that's what a loss leader is.
Generally, it's common amongst when new companies enter a market.
Yeah, and you can't really compete with the big dogs right away, right?
Yeah.
So,
but traditionally, consoles have always been loss leaders.
Mm-hmm. And Nintendo's like with the Wii. I don't know about the GameCube and the N64, but I know with the Wii and the Wii U that they did not lose money on.
That's true.
On those consoles, on selling those consoles.
That said, they make bank from their handhelds.
Yeah, they make money.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, so Wii U price drop incoming confirmed. Okay, good, good.
Get it while it's hot.
Uh-huh. Oh, we're breaking the stories here. Next up is a sequel to the cult classic anime favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, I love that show, and you hate that show.
I do. Actually, I have a story.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love Gainax.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've actually been watching the Gainax shows again to see which ones I like. Which ones I don't like. I actually watched Fooly Cooly on my second time around, now that I knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a lot more enjoyable.
Okay.
So, I get it now. I see why the whole coming-of-age story and the...
To be fair, I've also watched that show, like, 5 times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Right.
So, like, at the first run, I'm also like, this was just weird.
Yeah.
And then when you start seeing like the kind of stories behind it, it's like this, it is the coming of age story.
Yeah.
But just with robots.
Yeah. The second time around, once I knew the general gist and I was able to appreciate more of it, I'm like, this is a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
all right, awesome.
It's no Gurren Lagann. It's no Evangelion. It's not Gunbuster.
I'm not saying it's Gunbuster. Listen, barely anything is Gunbuster.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's a good show.
Oh, it's a good show. Anyways, Adult Swim.
What?
Adult Swim has announced that it's bringing back this classic.
So Adult Swim is making it?
Adult Swim is providing the finances, but can you guess the studio making the anime? I'll give you a hint. It's not Gainax.
Yeah, I was gonna guess. It wouldn't be Gainax if you were asking me this question.
Yeah.
Is it Trigger?
No.
Oh, I don't know then.
It's Production IG, who's most famous for Ghost in the Shell.
Oh!
How's that for a weird...
Yeah, like, what?
Huh? Yeah!
I don't understand.
Yeah, that's like... That's like if Firefly came back and someone told me Michael Bay was in charge.
Oh, man.
Like, what do you do?
Inara is now Megan Fox.
Yeah, it's like, but, what?
What? Why? So, okay. So how does the licensing work for this? Because I assume Gainax still owns the Fooly Cooly brand.
They let it go. They
so they just...
They signed off. They signed off on it. They said, you can go for it.
Wow, okay.
But
is this okay, sorry. Is this sign off in the sense where it's like that toy show where anybody can make their own shit? Or is this sign off as like, you now own this, like we don't want this property?
No. It's more like a borrowing of a license.
Okay.
Like you can make this, you can use it for this many episodes, okay, blah blah blah, okay. Blah blah. So I guess something happened. I forgot to, I don't know if you know this, but Gainax is not the studio it used to be.
I would assume so. Like the time these Evangelion movies are taken to come out, like I would assume so.
Yeah. So there was after, I think Gurren Lagann was sort of like their last big project, like as a full studio.
But it's such a good show.
Of course, and it shows. But after that, the studios, like a lot of the studio, the big names at the studio, they kind of split.
Oh, okay.
So one of the co-founders of the studio left. He took some of the team with him. They made Trigger. Right.
Okay. Oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
Right.
Okay,
yeah. So their Trigger, which explains why I like their show so much. And some of them stayed, and then another group branched off. The other group that branched off, they kind of do like independent work for the people.
Okay.
One of them was the one of the co-founders of Gainax, and he was in charge of Fooly Cooly. He's coming back to do this project for Adult Swim.
Nice.
Original voice cast is coming back.
Wait, English?
No.
Okay, because like it's by Adult Swim, like.
But it's gonna be.
It's gonna be subbed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I'm sure it's gonna be dubbed eventually, but it's gonna be subbed.
Also, like the double Fooly Cooly isn't that bad. Like I kind of, it's okay.
You, maybe on your first watch that might be easier to digest.
Yeah, like all the weird stuff plus being subs. Like you might just want to do the.
Yeah, I think that was my problem.
Yeah, like the dub's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. So he's come back, voice cast come back, and the band, the Japanese rock band that was responsible for the music is coming back. Mm-hmm. Or they're hinted at coming back. I don't know who else is coming back. I don't know how much of the original team
the
is coming back.
The Pillows, you mean?
The Pillows, yeah, they're the coming pillows. Back for it, yes. Okay. Yes, I don't know how much of the original team is coming back, but it seems like the men at the top are there, and hopefully this creates a good project. It's going to be 2 seasons of 6 episodes each.
Nice.
So I don't know when it's meant to come out. But it's happening.
I want to watch that show. So
yeah. All right. Speaking of shows,
mm-hmm.
The Netflix original series Voltron: The Legendary Defender is coming out.
But Vince, Voltron's an old show for old people.
Now it's a new show for young kids.
Oh my gosh!
So Netflix hasn't really said much. They haven't. They have showed a teaser, and it's basically Voltron combining like Super Robot style.
Nice.
But it's CG. You know, like that 2D CG thing, that mix?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's done by an American studio.
That's whatever.
So you know when you watch Galgaigar transform and it's super cool?
Yeah.
Think that on a budget.
Aww.
But you're like, but it's 2016. How could it be worse? I don't know. Like you watch and you're just like.
You can cut a lot of corners with CG.
Yeah, like. They've got all the big motions down, but when it comes to the finishing touches, it's just not there.
Like, there's the things in Galgaigar where it's like when the train runs through the torso, right, to create the shoulders.
Yeah.
And, like little latches lock into the train and, like, it lowers or, like, really intricate hand motions within gears and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
so it doesn't really have that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm still optimistic for the show now that I have Netflix. But actually, will I still have Netflix by then? Anyways, it's premiering June 10th. Look forward to it this summer.
Yeah. I find it weird in the, like, maybe a listener can explain this to me. Maybe someone knows. But I find it weird in the world of animation where things seemingly are getting cheaper and cheaper to do. That more shortcuts are being taken with animation quality. Right? Where, like, I look back at. The one we always talked about after you watched it was Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
Where, like, that animation style just kind of seems quality through and through.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's a big action scene, or it doesn't matter if they're just talking with each other.
Yeah.
Right? And nowadays, like, it's two people are talking to each other, and they might as well be still frames.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's no life in them as they're talking. And it's just weird, like, because in an age where it's like, oh, now we have all these computers, we can make things faster, cheaper. Yeah. Like, I just wonder why they're taking shortcuts.
I think it has a lot to do with teams getting smaller.
Oh.
Because there's so many shortcuts, a lot more can be achieved by one person.
Hmm.
And instead of having to have a whole team, I guess that one person's like, well, fuck it, I want to go home tonight.
Like, okay, that's fair.
The one that gets me is... So American cartoons don't exist as cartoons anymore. They're mostly CG things, right? And but the problem with CG is CG is expensive.
Mm.
It's really expensive.
Which is rendering farms are expensive.
Which is weird when you go to anime, because anime is trying to push into 3D. Mm-hmm. And the reason why? Because it's cheaper.
Which makes like how expensive is animation? And like, I know a lot of days they're outsourcing their animation to Korea.
Yeah.
But yeah, just how, like, I don't understand.
Yeah, like, so like, I don't.
What's going on with animation now that's making it so goddamn expensive?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like it could be like certain technology is obsolete now. So like, it would actually be more expensive for me to hand draw these and put it in than it would be to. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, Voltron's coming. Get excited. Five lions come to one.
They do.
They
make a sick lion with a sick sword.
Yeah.
And he's got an okay head. It's okay.
Yeah, but it's a lion head.
It's very colorful.
Yep.
Okay.
Next up is more on the video game side of things.
Okay.
Hader is David Hader, the famous voice behind Solid Snake for us in the West, has finally spoke out about what he thinks of Hideo Kojima.
Okay. I did not see this story until today when you're like, oh, I have to do the Google Doc.
Yeah.
And I'm just, what happened?
Hader has actually always had a very poor relationship with the Fabled Game.
Whoa, developer. Really?
In fact, this goes back to... So I think when you say Metal Gear, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you cannot speak of Metal Gear, and particularly its voice acting, without David Hader.
Yeah. Oh, well, unless you're only listening to like, Japanese tracks, then some dude.
Sure. Or, I don't know.
But like, yeah.
For
like,
most people, Metal Gear is synonymous with David Hader.
Metal Gear?
Yeah.
That's my best David Hader. That's all I can do.
I think as Kojima wanted to keep moving up and up in the ranks to become a big, big-time dude, he also wanted to bring with him more credible voices.
Oh.
And I guess for him, Hader never cut it because he was always just like, well, you're
like, some dude.
Yeah, you're like a D-list celebrity, if that.
Oh, that sounds a little shitty.
Metal Gear Solid 3, remember that?
Yeah.
Snake Eater? He originally did not want David Hader for that.
Oh, wow.
He wanted Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, he wanted Kurt Russell. But some contractual agreements had it so that David Hader had to be it.
Oh, like he was there for X amount of games or something?
Yeah, I think it was something in his contract stipulated that he gets the part. And so Kojima couldn't get Kurt Russell.
Huh.
Like, I think it was something like Kojima won, couldn't get Kurt Russell because he denied. And, contract stated well.
Contract. Okay.
Yeah, so David had to take it. That's three. Consider that. Four came out. He still had him. He didn't want him to be there.
Yeah.
Five comes out. And I think it happens around the time that, like, shit's going down between...
At Konami.
And Hader was never asked. He was never considered. He knew the game was being made. He was never considered.
Dang.
When he asked, I guess, Kojima Productions, never got a response.
Jesus.
And he just talks about how much he has so, even though he respects Kojima as a game developer, as a business person, as an actual person, he's like the worst. I hate him. I don't ever want to work with him again.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad. And then when they asked David Hayter, so have you played Metal Gear Solid 5? And he's like, oh yes, because I'm itching to jump at 60 hours of embarrassment, right?
Yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah, why would he play it
at
that point? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, especially in a game where, like, there's not that much main character voice acting.
Yeah. And so, for him, he's like, it definitely stings. It's like, people ask him about 5, and he's like, to be honest, like, he doesn't have any...
So, well, they ask him about V.
They asked him about V. And he has no response, like, because he doesn't know what happened.
That's, I feel like that's kind of a shitty question to ask him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he's kind of actually hoping now that Konami has severed ties with
Kojima,
because they still own the Metal Gear license, that he will eventually be brought back.
So David Hayter could be part of the sick patchy slot.
Yes.
The English patchy slot.
Yes. Version.
Yo, listen, I'll go to Niagara Casino if they get a Metal Gear patchy slot. Like, I'll go.
Yeah. So, but it's just interesting insight. I can't believe, like, I mean, there's one way to burn a bridge, and there you go.
That's yeah, that is crazy, because David Hayter is just synonymous with Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how campy it is. Like,
yeah.
It is his voice. It's almost his baby. Yeah. Like, I want to say. And I just wonder what the working relationship was like. Just because from this side of the story,
yeah,
it sounds like Kojima is almost blinded by star power.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
Right.
Yeah,
he's just sure. Like, he's like, man, I need these, even though these D-listers are working for me and nobody has complaints.
Yeah.
Like, I just want Kurt Russell, because yeah, he's Kurt fucking Russell.
Yeah.
Like, or like, I want dude from 24, because I really like 24.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, right? And so, like, I wonder, like, it sounds like he's just starstruck, pretty much. And he's like, I'm in a position where I can meet these stars that I really want to meet, and I can use them in my games.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how much of it is that, or how much of it is Kojima just didn't like David Hayter's voice. And at the time of Metal Gear 1, like, that's all he could afford.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure it's not, it's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
But,
I don't think we'll ever hear a side from Kojima. Of course.
Why would he? See, that's the thing. He's so big now, he doesn't need to say anything.
Yeah, he has nothing to gain from coming out and everything to lose.
Yeah.
So
he won't say anything about that. So that's kind of sad. But these kind of insight stories are always intriguing to me. Like, when especially when I come to, like, famous movies with, like, famous relationships, mm-hmm, and I find out, like, the actors hated each other. Those are my favorite. Like, I just
hate all these people.
You remember the movie The Notebook?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams? Mm-hmm. Turns out they hated each other on set the whole time.
They're really good actors, then.
Yeah.
Dang.
And to me, I'm just like, yeah. Or, what's that classic? Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Really?
They fucking hate each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Man, they're really good actors.
Yeah,
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
That kind of stuff really interests me. I don't know why. So I love it when this kind of stuff comes out.
It's interesting because they're like, they're forced in a position.
And they sell you on it.
Where you have to love each other.
Yeah.
Right? And they sell you on it. And just like, how could you do that? Like, that's like one step above, like, being dedicated to your craft. Like, there is no hint in The Notebook or in Dirty Dancing of, like, these people hate each other.
At some point, you got to be kind of, like, psychotic.
Yeah, right? You got to be at least a tiny bit of a sociopath.
Yeah, because you got to... There's one side of your brain you got to turn off, and the other one you just got to
turn on
max.
Just for work.
Let's, you got to spinal tap that shit and turn into 11 and be like, let's do it. But...
Yeah. But that is a really interesting story. Like, I'm definitely going to read the whole thing.
Yeah, you should look it up. Yeah. You have two more picks going for you?
I do have two more picks. A quick one I'll get out of the way is Sega has announced that Yakuza 0... the prequel, is coming out early next year.
So, like, that's still a long ways away.
Yeah, it's still a whole year away.
Okay.
But that is more information than we've ever got for a Yakuza game.
Oh, that's nice.
Ever. Like, other than the first one.
All right.
So, it's really nice to see, like, I think people, like, the other thing was Sega is actually taking all of the translation in-house, so they're not using Sony for anything.
Oh.
So people are... Because they're wondering, like, Yakuza 6 is going to be multi-platform. That's coming out in Japan later this year. But Yakuza 0 was originally only for PS3 in Japan. Mm. Or no, PS... I think it was PS4 and PS3? PS4. I can't remember. It was for PS4. But that now people are thinking, like, maybe they'll just port it to the Xbox. So if they're not taking any of Sony's money, they can't force the exclusivity, so they can bring it out to more people. So, and it,
why
it,
not?
Yeah, and then, why, like, not? Listen, the more people who play Yakuza, the better.
Yeah.
Like, because those games are great. And the last one is a, like, supposed leak that came out this week, and then turned out to be, like, a false leak. Like, yeah, some dude did it.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about earlier, the Nintendo NX. The Nintendo NX had a, quote-unquote, leak on Reddit.
Yeah.
It was leaked by a Reddit user called Idris2Dev, and he released a very blurry picture of what looked like a NX controller based on patents that were filed by Nintendo last year. So if you'll remember, I think I talked to you about the controller with the screen in it. And here's just like a picture of the controller that they made. And they released a blurry pic of that based on patent information. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is real. Is this fake? And the internet went into full detective mode like the internet does. And no one could find anything that said it was a fake. So then a few days later, by a different user on Reddit, more photos were put up. And it was they're clearer pictures. So it's like the picture I just showed you. And it looked like a working prototype of the controller. And then a couple days later after that, it turned out to be a fake.
Okay.
The fake was made by David Im. He used a 3D model and then imported it into Photoshop. And then you did that. So the thing was also there were different pictures put up that looked like it was in real life, like on a desk or something. And these were actually made by this guy named Frank. This guy's from Finland, so like I'm going to butcher his last name. It's like Sandqvist. Sandqvist.
Okay.
Like Sandqvist. He is the co-founder of CNC Design in Finland. And he actually made a 3D model.
Wow.
Right? From a 3D printer.
Why?
To hoax the internet.
Why?
Because people are mean. I don't know.
CNC ain't cheap. Well, if he's the owner, though, I guess.
Why? He's a co-founder. Like, he's whatever. Like, take it out of my paycheck.
That's true.
And he's the co-founder of CNC Divine. And, yeah, they made an actual 3D model. And afterwards, David M. and Frank, they both came out. And they're like, we felt kind of bad. Just prank. Like, it's just a prank. Like, so David M. posted up the models on his DeviantArt page. And then Frank came out saying, no, we did this. And they don't appear to be in cahoots together. It just appears to be like really great timing because David was originally wanted to create a 3D model, but then Frank beat him to it. So I guess Frank saw this and he's like, well, if someone leaked it, might as well just like fake leaked it. Might as well just dump out this model. Like great minds think alike. Right. So it's a weird story of like internet hoaxes and I think because this wasn't an April Fool's joke, it was made that much more believable.
Yeah, of course.
And I haven't seen the gaming community as a whole be so just like had like so tricked and like so they were so convinced that it was real, in a really long time.
Yeah, okay.
Like there are like not ever, but like in a really long time. Like in recent days, like people are mostly like, oh no, this is fake because of X, Y, and Z and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, like it took some dude to make an actual 3D model. Right. Wow. You had to go to such lengths to fool it.
That's the world we live in today. Yeah,
it's kind of nuts. And I like it.
Yeah. It wasn't like the good old days when you could just tell somebody Sonic was in Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly. And he was.
And then he was. And then you're like, what? He's in Smash Brothers.
Or what was the Mortal Kombat one?
Oh.
Was like Shenlong? Or was that Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, you could hit their master.
Yeah.
You play as his name. I don't know his name.
His name's Gouken in 4. But it wasn't.
It wasn't that. But you could play as their master.
Yeah, if you like did some ridiculous trial that no one could ever do, right? Yeah.
There's a Mortal Kombat one that involved being able to play as. Who were the ninja chicks?
Oh, Katana and.
Well, yeah, because there's one in the background, right? That.
Oh, Tanya.
Yeah, wasn't she originally a rumor?
Yeah, she was originally a rumor, and then they brought her for Mortal Kombat X. Yeah. Same thing with Error Mac.
Yeah.
So, like, that was just actually an error in, like, the macro code,
yeah.
But then they just turned him into Ermac. Like,
I remember in 2001 or 2000. Noob Saibot. Oh, shit, what was it? I was reading EGM, and I always knew, like, oh, this is the month.
This is April.
They're going to throw out those April Fool's joke. And you know what the one that I thought for sure was fucking fake?
What?
It was... Final Fantasy joins Mickey Mouse. I was like, that's fucking fake.
Get out of here.
Get out. I read the cover. I'm like, April? This is bullshit. This is fake.
And then.
Oh, and then my life was changed.
Then the realness happened.
And then I didn't know what to do with myself anymore. I was like, what?
What do I do?
What happened? I've been reading this magazine for years. I thought I had it.
And those games are still coming out. Well, Kingdom Hearts 3 coming at you soon.
That's some fucked up shit.
Oh, man. Remember, man. Every time we talk about April Fools, I get nostalgic for print game media. I'm just like, man.
Speaking of print game media, let's go into our weeks, because this week I did something.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I talked about how I don't use my iPad, and I've been paying...
So you created a sick zine? You're selling it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I went to Chapters and I bought the magazine instead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I was, because I was reading on my thing, I'm like, something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So I bought the magazine. I'm like, ah.
This is what's missing.
This is what's missing. I didn't, and then I was flipping through it. I'm like, oh, I like reading magazines. And I'm like, fuck, do magazines have so many ads? Where's the ad blocker now on this
do.
Shit?
Now they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even comic books have ads now. Like, you'll be reading, like, in the middle of Suicide Squad issues, like, it'll just be, like, Arrow on CW, and then, like, yeah. the next page.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, shit, magazines are thick nowadays.
Yeah.
And then I go through it, I'm like, oh, it's, like, 100-page book, 50 pages of ads. I mean, they're all targeted ads, so they're things I ended up being interested in anyways, but still, it's like, whatever.
There was a good, retro game magazine that came out a while ago called, it was, like, I think it was just called Retro Game Magazine, and they had no ads.
Wow.
But the thing was, the magazine issue itself costs like $50. So, so it was just this thick book going in depth on retro games, like whatever topic they were covering. I think it was quarterly that it came out.
Oh, okay. Actually that's
like I don't think it wasn't weekly.
That's still not reasonable, what am I saying?
It was quarterly. But still, it was $50 an issue. Like that's how they had no ads.
Jeez, yeah, wow, that's crazy. But yeah, so reading magazine, the number one thing that I miss about reading magazines versus reading stuff on the internet or just anywhere else is I love page layout and clever use of text and fonts and images. I just love it.
So that's the, like, with internet sites, well, Squarespace kind of does this.
Not really. No, they're not as clever.
They're trying, but it's not as clever. Yeah. Like, that's the thing with web pages. Web pages are all built for you
to scroll,
to click and scroll, right?
Yeah.
But like, there's like looking at the page isn't that nice. Like, there's no artistry to the page. But like, when you look in a magazine, like again, old magazines, like the way everything is laid out, like all this picture is like leaning into this article in a certain way that makes it look really nice.
There's a lot of clever things to do sometimes. Like I was reading, so it was a bike magazine, right?
Yeah.
And there's like a review of a bike that I was wanting to read, but the author did it all in emojis.
Oh. That's cool.
And I was like, what the fuck does this mean? And she's like, for you non-millennials, jump to page whatever for the real review. And I'm like, all right, you can like link, but
you can reference
other pages. And I was like, all right, and you can flip back and forth. I'm like, ah, I miss this. I'm like, do I want to pay a subscription for this again? And I'm like, I don't know.
So I learned doing certain projects and papers and stuff.
Yeah.
I learned you can cross-reference in Word.
Okay.
So I started doing like magazine style layouts in my essay papers, and it's like see figure one, and then you click the link and it scrolls up to the picture, and like, I'm trying to make it like a magazine.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, no, so that was fun. It was a good 20 minutes.
It's too bad print's dead.
It is dead.
Just like they said in Superman vs. Batman.
Yeah, it's dead, man. It's dead. You can't buy paper anymore.
Aww. Yeah, trees are gone. There's no trees.
No trees. What are you talking about? But my big week, the big thing of my week was I finished Daredevil season 2.
Nice.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if I liked it better than season 1. Season 2 has some really great moments.
Is it as violent as season 1?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, it's just as violent, especially with the Punisher around.
Oh, true.
And, it's definitely got like higher highs and stuff, and I think all around it probably is a better show now. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The first season had Wilson Fisk, and you're like almost more interested in him than you were Daredevil.
Yeah.
Season 2 doesn't have like a big bad for you to
keep. Is the Punisher not?
Well, no. The Punisher's technically a hero, right?
Yeah. Well, technically.
Just about.
Just bare minimum.
I mean, if there was a line, he's pretty much on it. But he's not a villain. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't call him a villain. So, the show doesn't really have, like, this interesting villain to follow.
Okay.
And I think that's its weakness. Also, going back to violence, there were times where I was just like, do the fights need to be this long?
Huh?
I was just like, choreography's great, looks good, awesome, you're doing flips, but just move. Let's go. All
right. So, for season 2, two questions.
Oh.
First one. Is this another season where a side character is more interesting than the Daredevil? Like, is the Punisher a more interesting character to follow than the Daredevil is? Because you just said Wilson Fisk is totally the more interesting character in season one.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I was like, man, if they did that again, like, why is this show called The Daredevil?
No, actually, this shows... I think The Daredevil is actually the strongest part of this. In that it shows how unhero-like he can be.
Okay.
In terms of, like...
Just beating on dudes?
Or just being a bad friend.
Oh.
Just okay. Being a bad Matt Murdock.
Okay.
Like, just being like, why are you friends with this dude? He's such an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's what makes him interesting. It's kind of like... I can't be a hero and be this awesome lawyer and hang out with all my friends all at once. I have to make sacrifices here and there.
And I'm going to sacrifice my friends.
Yes.
Okay. Second question. For the fight scenes, do they still do the thing of like, hey, this guy doesn't have superpowers. Like, he's just a human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they still do the thing of like, as fights progress, he gets more tired and then...
Yeah.
Okay. Or is it... I was going to ask, like, if he had the suit, does that make him just like have infinite stamina now?
Especially with his fights with like other, not superheroes, but like people on the same level as him.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely gets into the whole fatigue kicks in. The longer the fight goes on, he's more susceptible to making mistakes, and he gets caught off guard a lot.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
Yeah, but no, I enjoyed it. A part of me feels like when season three rolls around, I'm gonna look back and be like, "Fuck, season two was just that." That problem with trilogy movies.
Here's the dark middle chapter.
Yeah, where the middle, like, it totally exists to bridge one and three.
Okay.
At the moment, I don't feel that way, but I have a feeling, like, looking back, it might be that.
If they can even make you think that now,
yeah,
that it doesn't seem like a bridge, yeah, like, that's kind of an accomplishment.
That's true. That's true.
Because there's just the thing of, like, when you see a two beside something, you're like, in a trilogy, you're like, yeah, okay, this is going to be something. This is going to be a dark middle chapter, right? But if they made you think that, like, even now, standing alone, this stands alone, like, that's kind of an accomplishment.
Yeah, it totally stands alone. One of the characters was super surprised. I think... Do you know who all the characters are on this show?
I just know Daredevil, Punisher, and then whoever was in the last season.
Okay, I won't say anything. Sure.
Is it Canary?
Canary?
I don't know. Aren't those two scientists like something in Canary? Black Canary?
Black Canary and Green Arrow?
Yeah. Black Canary and Green Arrow?
That's DC.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Whatever.
This be that Marvel.
Superheroes are all the same. Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, that was my bad. I messed up.
Yeah. All right. That's
for some reason, I always think they're Marvel. I don't know why.
Because you're thinking Mockingbird.
Oh, okay. Is Mockingbird in it?
She's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
When you see it, you'll be like, oh, of course, yeah.
How could I have not seen
that? How could I have not seen that? Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that was my week.
Cool.
Hmm.
I don't think I did anything new with my week.
That's sad.
Yeah, like, I think, like, I've been doing homework.
Ooh.
And I, like, yo, you guys want to learn about stock prices and...
I know all there is to know about that stuff.
Do my homework.
Nah.
Do my homework.
But Anthony, how will you pass the exam if I do your homework?
I don't care. Go into the exam for me. So I've just been doing homework. Like, it's almost final exam time.
Oh.
Like 2 weeks away. I've been playing more Yakuza. I'm doing all the side missions still. They're all still great. And I'm getting into even more so into the weapon crafting.
Yeah.
So I made like a squid spear.
Mm.
I did get a spear and a squid, and then I combined them.
Mm, I see.
Get it? And
I get it.
I haven't even played Diablo. Like, I watched another episode of Snafu. The show's still awesome.
Good stuff.
I got three more left. Wow. Should be done soon.
Mm. Actually, speaking of anime, a lot of anime's come to an end now.
Yeah. I realize I have like six episodes of Stride to catch up on.
Oh.
Yeah. I have like all 3/4 of Iron-Blooded Orphans to catch up on.
Oh yeah, that finale went up today.
Yeah. I got a lot of stuff to catch up on.
Yeah.
I gotta watch Erased still.
That ended too.
Yeah. But man, all that's good to know.
Yeah.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4 is coming out.
You're not gonna watch that.
I'm gonna watch it. I'll watch it.
You're not gonna watch it. No, you're not.
I'll watch it.
You're not gonna watch it. I don't think so.
Watch it.
Actually, just quickly going back to Erased, I said that like it's gonna be one of the best anime this year, or it's gonna be one of the most talked about.
Yeah.
I still think it will be.
Okay. Where's the caveat? Where is it? Give me the caveat.
I think it could have been a better show.
Oh, is the ending ruined or?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you watch the ending?
I did watch the ending. I don't want to say if it. I don't know if the ending ruined it. It contributed, but the first four episodes of that show are in fucking credible.
Okay.
And then the next eight, they're still really good, but they never managed to capture the magic of the first four.
Aw, okay.
And when you watch it, you'll see why, and then, like, I don't know. From the research I've done, a lot of the purists, like the big fans, say the manga actually has a completely different ending that makes a lot more sense and is a lot more powerful.
Okay.
As opposed to the route that the anime took. I think the way the anime ended was, I don't know, it was something. It was something.
Okay.
Like,
I'll take your word on it.
You may love it, you may not like it. I wasn't a fan of it. I don't know.
I have a lot of free time this week, so, because just assignments and stuff are due later.
Yeah.
So I think I'll start it.
Yeah.
Well, no, the thing is like, they're due later, and, like, okay, I've been adulting real hard. So it turns out, if you do your homework when it's assigned, you have a lot of free time later. It's nuts.
Anthony, aren't you just like, man, if only I knew this when I was younger.
If only I knew this when I was taking my two other programs. Because I remember times where it was just like, oh man, this like 3-page single space paper is due. Like, it's not that hard, but it just takes a lot of time. Also, I started it at 11. Like, and I have 59 minutes to submit it.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, oh man, this thing that takes me like an hour or two is due 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have to do it in 2 weeks
because
it's already done.
It sucks that, like, we learn these lessons when
Yeah, so, like, I'm thinking to myself now, like, I don't know, like, this is kind of a weird situation, I guess, but, like, I don't know if me being like I was all those times helped me learn this revelation, or if it's just because I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
It could, like, I assume it's a mix of both. But, like, I'm thinking, like, man, I probably should have waited to go into post-secondary rather than just jumping straight from high school and, like, maybe, like, focusing a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, now I'm thinking about it, like, if I want, like, my mindset before was, like, as long as I hit that passing grade, like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But now as I'm older and I'm like, oh, I can do better if I put in the time. It doesn't take that much more effort.
Yeah.
But, like, past me has made, like, averages and stuff kind of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I hate you, past me. Like, why can't you just be present me? Or possibly future me?
Mm.
And so now I'm just like, man, like, maybe I should have waited. Like, maybe my mindset was too young for post-secondary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, I definitely had that problem, too.
And I, with me?
No, with learning.
I thought you said you definitely had that problem with me.
I'm like, what? I had that problem too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, I see it in, like, a lot. So, like, they change the curriculum a lot. So I'm in, like earlier semester classes and stuff to get my upgrade. But, like, I see it in a lot of these kids who are just, like, 19 straight out of high school. And, like, I'm not going to be that annoying older dude who's just like, man, maybe you should just do it now, right? Because I'm like, if someone said that to me when I was 19, I'd be like, what the fuck do you know? Like, I need to go to pub night. I need to go party and get smashed. Like, or I've become the annoying guy in class who constantly asks questions and uses up all of class time, even though the teacher is planning to, like, end class early. But I'm just like, listen, if I have these questions, most likely other people have these questions too. And because I'm paying this amount in tuition, like, I'm going to get all my questions. Like, I'm going to get my money's worth.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, my week's been, like, super barren of new stuff. Like, it's just been plowing through Yakuza. It's been playing a lot more Outrun. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Well, I guess that's a good wrapping point.
Yeah, we talked a lot this episode.
We did. I think we're like hour 10.
That's not bad.
I was surprised, considering how long we went on for Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe hour
10. Well, our weeks are super short, so.
That's true, yeah. But yeah, happy Easter for those who celebrated it.
Yeah, happy Fertility Day for those who celebrate
that one too,
Fertility Day.
And here around where we live, weather's getting nicer.
Yeah.
days are getting longer.
I came in just a sweater and not a jacket.
Oh, wow.
And, like, so that's sign of the times.
Yeah.
Well, it's nighttime now, so it's not that much sign of the times. But.
Yeah. What do you call it? Like I mentioned at the top of this episode, I bought a new bicycle, so I hope that I get that this week, and then I can go riding around and
remember to racing. Dodge those dogs, hit those people.
Dodge dogs, hit the people. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Dodge dogs, hit people.
That's like some extreme PETA activist hashtag. Like.
Oh, I should get a vinyl of that printed and put it right on the side of my bike frame.
Hit people, not dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, that might work perfectly.
Let's do it.
All right, then.
We do have to believe in ourselves.
We got ourselves a game plan. We'll see you guys in 1 week's time.
Peace out.
See ya.